As members of the Church of God, we are living in an exciting time and age. In an exciting technological age, with, as the prophet Daniel spoke, many running to and fro and knowledge increasing dramatically, this earth is hurtling toward the greatest time of trouble that this world has ever seen. And I'm going to go through the scripture that Mr. Glenn Lewis read in Matthew 24 about what we're headed toward is this time of greatest trouble, the great tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, and the day of the Lord. Yes, it is an exciting time to be a member of the Church of God, but the coming events are going to bring some sobering, chilling effects on the members of the Church of God. So I'm going to speak about this coming time of trouble. And the only way that we're going to be able to spiritually navigate these troublous times and endure to the end is for us to love God, to love His truth, and to walk in His truth, and to live His truth. We're going to have to, we must talk the talk and walk the walk. And the title that I've given this is Endure to the End. And the subtitle that I've given it is Love God, : Love and Live His Truth. Endure to the end. Love God, love, and live His truth. This is a sobering message that I would rather not present to you. This is a sobering message about catastrophic events that will result in the deaths of billions of people and will be a great trial for the saints of God. We're living at the end of an age. We're very close to the end of 6,000 years of mankind's existence on this earth since Adam and Eve were created. We are living in the end times according to our beliefs and teachings. United has a booklet entitled, Are We Living in the Time of the End? And I would suggest that you read it again. And it's written by Mr. Mario Siegley. In the beginning of the booklet is a statement on page 3. From about the late author Isaac Asimov. And I want to read what it says. The late author Isaac Asimov, in his book, The Choice of Catastrophes, The Disasters That Threaten Our World, listed and explained at least 15 dangers that could jeopardize human survival. Many of these potential global disasters, and this is not a continuation about Isaac Asimov, but including nuclear war, have arrived at our door only in the last few decades. And between, on pages 38 through 92 is God's framework for end time prophecy. And Mr. Siegley lists 3 conditions that we all ought to be watching for and expecting that are going to happen in that end time when all of these things come to pass. And the first condition is man's ability to annihilate human life. When the scripture that Mr. Lewis read in Matthew 24 was given, it was impossible for mankind to completely destroy all of mankind. He couldn't do it with sticks and stones and spears and shields and rifles and automatic weapons and cannons. It was impossible to destroy all of mankind. Let me read a paragraph or two of what it says. Mankind has been fighting wars since the dawn of history, but man never had the ability with rocks and clubs, bows and arrows, cannons, or automatic weapons to literally exterminate every human being on earth. This changed in 1945 with the detonation of the first atomic bombs, followed by the development of far more destructive hydrogen bombs. With thousands of nuclear weapons at its disposal, as well as thousands of tons of chemical and biological weapons, humanity has the ability to destroy all human life from the planet many times over. And the scriptures say, and it says in Matthew 24, in verse 21, that it's going to get so bad that there wouldn't be any flesh saved alive. And so that's when God the Father is going to intervene and send His Son Jesus Christ back. He must intervene, as this paragraph closes, to save mankind from self-annihilation. So the first condition in God's framework for end-time prophecy is man's ability to annihilate human life. The second condition is the Jewish nation reborn, because we read about the Jews in the holy place and there being an abomination of desolation placed there. And so the Jewish nation came to be in 1947 or 8 was when it was established again. And to fulfill these end-time prophecies, there must be the existence of the modern nation state of Israel in control of Jerusalem for a time. And they're going to get wiped out, and the Gentiles are going to take over the holy city for a number of months. So they don't have some good futures to look to. And the third condition that is on page 41 in this, are we living in the time of the end, is a new superpower to emerge. We've been watching what's going on in Europe since way back there when they first had the common market. And now it's grown into the EU. And there's about, I believe, 27 nations. But according to the 10 totals in the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and also further clarified over in Revelation, out of that is going to emerge 10 nations or 10 kings who are going to give their power to the beast and set in force all of this conflagration that we have ahead of us. I'm not sure I had one of these at home. I didn't look for it, so I just ran a copy off from the United website. And the scripture that I wanted to read is in Revelation 17, if you would turn there. Revelation 17, beginning in verse 12, about these 10 horns. Revelation 17, 12, and the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, which is idiotic to be done. And the Lamb will overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. And so conditions are going to work out to where out of that 27 or however many number there ends up being are going to come 10 as foretold in the book of Daniel, in the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and is detailed further here in Revelation 17. It's a beast power is going to merge in a false prophet guiding that and bring great chaos to this earth. And so much so that God will have to intervene and send Christ back to prevent us from destroying ourselves. So, the framework of end time prophecy is, number one, the first condition, man's ability to annihilate human life. Second condition, the Jewish nation reborn. And the third condition, a new superpower to emerge. In addition to these three conditions that are given here in this booklet, we can also watch for a king of the South to rise up, which could be some grouping of the Muslim nations in the Middle East. We read in Daniel 11:40 that at the time of the end, the king of the South is going to attack the king of the North, and that the king of the North will come against him with a vengeance. Also, we have the two witnesses prophesying for 1260 days or 3.5 years in Revelation 11 and then being killed by the beast. In Revelation 11 verse 7, now when they finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those in the scripture that I'm coming to here is in verse 9. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days. Now, how could people all around the world from various tribes, various tongues, various languages, various nations see their dead bodies for 3.5 days? How was that possible until we had satellite TV and satellite communication? You see, a lot of these things that Jesus told us were going to happen couldn't have happened at the time he gave the prophecies. But there had to be this knowledge increase and people running to and fro. And all of these things come together to now that it's possible. And they're not going to allow their dead bodies to be put in graves. And those who dwell on the earth are going to rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. And you go ahead and you read that after 3.5 days, they're going to rise up. So when all of these conditions and events come together at the same time, conditions will be so bad that no flesh would be saved alive, according to Jesus in Matthew 24, verse 22. To keep mankind from destroying himself, the Father is going to send Jesus Christ back to prevent man from committing self-annihilation. Now let's go to Daniel 12 and Matthew 24, where the time of greatest trouble this world has ever seen is prophesied. In Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 1, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Originally there was Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, and Lucifer rebelled and became Satan, leaving Michael and Gabriel, and Michael is the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, over Daniel's people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. So it's going to be the greatest time of trouble that there ever was. But there's going to be some people delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And remember, we have to keep our names written in the book of life to be there. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt, some to death in the lake of fire. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. They're going to be given a body changed to be like Christ's glorious body that you read about in Revelation, the first chapter. And shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And over in Matthew, the 24th chapter, further discussion of this time of greatest trouble. In Matthew 24, beginning in verse 21. Jesus spoke of the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. And see, for that to be set up, the Jews needed to be back there in Jerusalem. But they still don't control the holy place. The Arabs, the Muslims, control it currently. Whoever reads, let him understand. And down in 21, verse 21 of Matthew 24, for then shall be great tribulation, great trouble, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. It's going to be the biggest, worst time of trouble the world has ever seen. Billions of people end up dying. And unless those days were shortened, unless they were cut short, no flesh would be saved. And several of the translations say no flesh would be saved alive. We've come to the point with our nuclear weapons, our chemical weapons, our biological weapons, that we can kill all of ourselves if we start pushing the buttons. And why are they going to be shortened? But for the elect's sake, the specially chosen ones that we're numbered and blessed to be a part of, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So it's going to be a great tribulation, the time of greatest trouble the world has ever seen. And Satan is going to go after the church of God with a vengeance, because he knows that he only has a short time remaining. Revelation, the 12th chapter. Revelation 12, beginning in verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. It's not a few deceived, it's the many, you read in Matthew 24, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, he's there before God accusing us all of the time. And Jesus is there as our high priest interceding for us. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Not by their own strength, not by their own power. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. They loved God. They loved Jesus Christ. They loved His truth. They lived His truth. And they were willing to die for it. Where do you stand? Where do I stand? If it comes down to your death or your insisting on keeping the Sabbath and the holy days, which way are you and I going to go? If it comes down to where you are threatened that your spouse or one of your children is going to be killed if you don't abandon this faith, what choice are you? What choice am I going to make? You see, these saints mentioned here in verse 11 overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. He knows his days are numbered, and he's going to go after the saints of the church of God. The saints of God have always been persecuted. In fact, turn to Matthew 10. Jesus said that he didn't come to send peace on the earth, but a sword. And he said our enemies would be among our own families. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 34, Matthew 10, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I grew up a Methodist. I don't ever remember being persecuted by anybody in my family for attending the Methodist church. But when we started keeping a Sabbath, when we didn't keep Christmas and Easter anymore, when we drove 75 miles to go to this church, when we had several within a block or two of where we live, have you thought about having Bill see a psychiatrist? Oh, but when you... That's when these scriptures come alive. That's when they come alive. When you begin to obey the truth and live the truth. So the saints of God have always been persecuted. What we see from the scriptures is that this persecution is going to intensify during the end times. There are going to be saints who are protected from all the chaos and cataclysms. And there are going to be saints who are martyred. And of course, we all want to be among that group that's protected. Now let's go through a few scriptures in the book of Daniel that speak about the persecution of the saints. In Daniel 7. Daniel 7, verses 21 and 22. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Some of these scriptures are back in time. Some are right at the end time. And it's going to go on until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. So there's this horn making war against the saints of God and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Down in verse 25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law, then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. And that can, some places it means 3.5 years, 42 months. If it's a day for a year, it can mean 1,260 years. Verse 27, then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. In Daniel, the 8th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He's got another source of power, and it's Satan the devil. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. He's going to do damage to the saints of God. His power shall be mighty. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Daniel 12, verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Verse 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Verse 7. Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. There's that time, time, and half a time. It in some cases means 3.5 years, and in some cases maybe 1,260 years. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. What we have in front of us, what we're facing, is a time when our power is going to be completely shattered. Shattered is Strong's number 5310, and it means to dash to pieces or scatter. And so when the power of the holy people has completely been dashed to pieces, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, Daniel said, I did not understand. And then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And Daniel was told to go his way and rest, because the words in verse 9 are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And verse 10 says, many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And he concludes the book in verse 13, but you, speaking to Daniel, go your way till the end, for you shall rest. You shall die and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days when the seventh trump sounds. Now let's look at some of the scriptures where Jesus discusses persecution of his followers. Jesus says several times in several of the Gospels that when His followers are brought before leaders, that we ought not to think about what we're going to say. To try to mull around and say, what am I going to say if they ask me this or ask me that? He said, don't do that because the Holy Spirit will bring to mind what you need to say. In Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew 10. Beginning in verse 16. Christ said in Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. Don't worry about it. Don't be concerned about it. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Or that speaks in you. Now you see here coming up what he says that some of our detractors and the enemy are going to be those in our own families. Now brother will deliver up brother to death. And a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And that was the title that I gave this of endure to the end. And he who endures to the end will be saved. It's not going to be a picnic. It's not going to be a walk in the park. But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another, as the early New Testament church did. When they were persecuted in Jerusalem, they fled to surrounding areas. For surely, I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. On down to the end of the age, he said, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Jesus also said that whoever confesses him before men, he will confess before his Father and our Father in heaven. And whoever denies him before men, he will deny before his Father in heaven. I'm going to read a couple of these versions of that. Matthew 10:32-33 is one reference, and Mark 13. I want to read that one. Mark 13:9-13. Mark 13:9-13, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues, and you will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake for testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations, and it hasn't happened yet, because if it had happened, according to Matthew 24:14, the end would have already come. According to Matthew 24:14, which says that, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness, as evidence to all the nations, and then the end will come. Back to Mark, the 13th chapter. And the gospel, verse 10, must first be preached to all the nations, but when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And we've got to be loving God and walking His way and living His truth if the Holy Spirit is going to give us something to say. We won't have that spiritual help if we're off on a tangent denying God, denying Christ, denying His truth and way. Now, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his children, and his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And there's a superscript 1 in the New King James here, and in the margin it says, bears patiently. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who bears patiently to the end shall be saved. There's also similar scriptures that I won't read in Luke 12, verses 8 to 12, and I would like to read Luke 21. Luke 21, beginning in verse 12. Luke 21, beginning in verse 12. This is a parallel scriptures to Matthew 24. And he speaks of wars and commotions and nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom in verse 10. Great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences, fearful sights and great signs before the heaven. But it says, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. It'll be a time to speak up for the truth of God and the way of God. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. If we're living the right way, loving the right way, we're going to receive the help that we need. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will send some of you to your death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. They can kill the body, but they can't kill you. Because God can bring you back to life, and He will. Not a hair of your head shall be lost. In your patience, possess your soul. As I mentioned, some saints are going to be protected, and some are going to be martyred. And we want to all to be in the protected bunch. In Revelation 3, in the message to Philadelphia, Revelation the 3rd chapter. Revelation 3, verse 10. And this is the message to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, verse 7. Verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. We also read of saints being protected in Revelation the 12th chapter. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 12, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail, speaking of Satan the devil, drew a third of the stars of heaven, the angels of heaven, and threw them up to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she bore a male child, speaking of Jesus Christ, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. The church had to flee into the wilderness for all of those centuries. Down to verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given, now we're down at the end time, see? But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent in a place of safety, wherever that's going to be. For a time and times and half a time, for 3.5 years. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood, going to send an army after them. I believe we read back in Isaiah. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, because he couldn't do her harm. He couldn't do those people harm. And what does he do? He goes after to make war with the rest of her offspring. And these people that he's going after are not dregs. They are those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, which in Revelation 19:10 is the spirit of prophecy. So here are saints who are keeping the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, the spirit of prophecy, and they're going to be persecuted and Satan's going to go after them. They're not in this place of safety for some reason. And of course, all of us want to be in this group that are protected. Some saints are going to be martyred. Turn back to Revelation 6. Revelation 6, verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, remember there were 7 seals, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now this is looking back. And they cried with a loud voice, and this is rhetorical. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? They're crying out like Abel's blood did when God confronted Cain about Abel's blood crying out to him from the ground. Well, the blood wasn't really crying out. It was symbolic. These people are dead. They don't know anything. They don't have any knowledge or wisdom. But they were done wrong, and their martyrdom cries out for those who did it to be judged and their blood avenged on those who dwell on the earth. And a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So it speaks of a coming time when there's going to be some saints martyred. Chapter 7, beginning in verse 13, here we're introduced to the 144,000. And then in verse 9, an innumerable multitude. In verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, verse 14, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They gave their lives. They made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Chapter 12, verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 10 to 12, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Revelation 13. Latter part of verse 2. In verse 1, you read of a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. Latter part of verse 2, and the dragon gave him, this beast that rose up, that rises up, gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue 42 months, at 3.5 years. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. We don't have a picnic and a walk in the park to look forward to. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. What goes around is going to come around. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So, this beast is going to rise up, is going to make war with the saints and overcome them. The beast is going to kill the two witnesses that we read about in Revelation 11, verse 7. Some saints will be beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God because they refuse to worship this beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Great deception has come and is coming, with many being deceived. Back in Matthew, the 24th chapter, that was the first thing that Jesus warned his disciples about. They asked him privately in verse 3, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, and he said in verse 4 to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many, not a few, not a tiny little handful, but many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." In Revelation 12:9, we read how Satan deceives the whole world. And so the love of many is going to go cold because iniquity abounds so much. Down in verse 8, Jesus goes through the wars and famines and pestilences and earthquakes. And he says in verse 8, that all these are the beginning of sorrow. It's just a start. It's just getting warmed up to really start in a big way. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." We've had it easy all these years. We've had persecution, of course, but it hadn't been anything like is prophesied to come, to where you're hated by all nations because you're following Jesus Christ. "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness, because breaking the Ten Commandments of God, because of sin will abound, the love of many will grow cold." And that's not Philadelphia type love. It's not Eros, sexual type love. No, it's agape, godly love. "And because lawlessness abounds so much, the God love of many of the saints of God is going to grow cold." That's a warning for you and me. It's going to get so bad and so lawless. A lot of us are going to lose our godly love, our agape. "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." The man of sin, or the son of perdition, is going to rise up and perform great false miracles, with many being deceived because they do not have a love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. He says in verse 3 that, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day speaking of our gathering, of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him. He says, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So it's this destruction is going to happen with Jesus Christ coming back the next time. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. That's where he gets his power, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. We're going to see some gigantic miracles that's going to lead a lot of people astray, and with all unrighteousness and deception among those who perish. And why? Why do they perish? Because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Do you love the truth? Do I love the truth? Do we love the Sabbath day? Do we love the holy days? Do we love the Ten Commandments? Do we love God the Father and Jesus Christ? And because these people don't love the truth, because they had pleasure in unrighteousness, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie that this man of sin is promoting and promulgating, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They loved the pursuit of pleasure in unrighteousness, and so they were deceived and led off into continuing in their unrighteousness. To keep from being deceived, we must have a great love of the truth. So let's be praying for a deeper love of God. Pray for a deeper love of the truth. Pray for a deeper love of this way of life that we have been called to and blessed to follow. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Pray that all of us will remain called, chosen, and faithful. Pray for the spiritual strength from God to be faithful and endure to the end. Don't get caught off guard. As the scriptures say, many people are. Let us watch and pray always that we may be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21. Luke 21. Luke 21, beginning in verse 34. Words of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, verse 36, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So pray that we will all be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and that we'll be able to stand before the Son of Man. When are all of these end time events going to happen? We don't know. Only the Father knows. Mark the 13th chapter. Mark 13, Verse 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Only the Father knows when all of these prophecies will come to pass. In the meantime, we need to love God, love His truth, and live His truth so that we may fulfill our part in His work and endure to the end. This world that we live in is facing the time of its greatest trouble ever. Billions of people are going to die from wars, from diseases and famines. The saints of God will face horrendous persecution. Some saints will be protected in a place of safety, and some saints will be martyred. May God help us to endure to our end, or the end, whichever comes first. May God help us to love Him, to love His truth, and to live His truth so that we'll all be able to rise up to meet Christ in the air when He descends to this earth at the sound of the seventh trumpet.